Thomas, we're joined right now by an NFL Network analyst, the host of the Move the Sticks podcast. Again, a legendary quarterback at El Cajon Christian. You can follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. NFL Network is providing live coverage of the 2019 NFL Scouting Combine, March 1st through the 4th. It is underway. Daniel Jeremiah joins me. DJ, good to have you back. What's up?
What's up, Rome? I'm inside the building here at the Scouting Combine. It's kickers and punters. I figured you were calling because you want to just go just line item, right? One after another, just roll through all the kicker and the punter evaluations.
Not literally that, but I'd like to run through the evaluation of every single player eligible for the draft because I know you know all of them, Daniel. How much time you got?
Confession to make, bro. When I was scouting, we get to the special teams, and it was like we went all in the room, all the scouts, and just read our reports as fast as possible. Look at the special teams coach and go, we don't know what we're looking at. Just whoever you want. Just let us know.
That's it. No doubt. Daniel Jeremiah, my guest. All right, so do this for me. I was going to start someplace else, but since you mentioned that, from a front office perspective, like I spend all my time talking to these prospects. What's it like? What's it like? How are you approaching this? Flip this thing on its head. From a front office perspective, what is the combine experience like? I mean, do teams really enjoy this, or is it just an out-and-out grind?
It's a grind. I always enjoyed it. Some don't. I just found it valuable, Jim, because there's so many players that you grade similarly. You know, I always think you make a mistake at this event when you come out of here and you launch a guy way up or way down your draft board. But in the fall, you're going to have the same grade on several different players at several different positions. So, in other words, I've got two guards that I give the exact same grade to. You know, who would you rather have if they're both on the clock? Well, I get a chance to see them in the same line, on the same field, doing the same drills, and it can kind of help break some ties. So I've always found a lot of value in that, as well as, you know, get a chance to visit with these kids in the interview rooms and not only get a chance for their football knowledge and, you know, find out all the background stuff. That's all right. But you get a chance to learn the personalities. You know, how is this personality going to play in that position room for us, and how's that going to play in the group overall?
So generally, does it feel like when you sit with them and you're trying to talk to them and get a sense of what they're like, what makes them go, do you feel like you're getting the real from them, or do they feel like they're just all coached up?
They're very coached up, but you can try and fight your way through some of those some of those canned answers. You know, it's become a lot more difficult to do. But you know, I mean, I've had so many different instances where we've had guys and the stories like, hey, who's the leader of the defense? Wow, the leader of the defense. I'm the leader of the defense. What are you talking about? I'm the leader of the defense. Okay, you guys watch extra tape? Yeah, we watch extra tape. All right, who runs the meeting? Well, yeah, I run the meeting. I go, all right, well, who holds the remote control? Who holds the clicker? Oh, it's the other linebacker. You're not the leader, bro. Like, what are you talking about? If you're the leader, you'd be holding the clicker.
Right.
So, like, just, like, fun stuff like that.
I like that. Daniel Jeremiah joining us. Obviously, if you're not holding the clicker, you're not leading anything. Listen, I was going to start by talking to you about Kyler Murray, but there is news regarding Jason Witten. He's going to return to the Dallas Cowboys. What is your reaction to that, and is that a good thing for them?
You know, it was interesting. It caught me off guard when I first saw it, but it makes sense, you know, from the standpoint where the Cowboys, you've got Amari Cooper who can stretch the field on the outside, so it's going to create some space in the middle of the field. Now, Witten at this age is not somebody that's going to win a lot one-on-one. He's not going to be a man beater, but he's somebody that if you give him some space, he's got a great feel, great instincts. He's going to find that spot. He's going to post up, and he's going to give his quarterback a nice, easy completion anytime he wants it. Now, he's going to catch and fall down. He ain't running away from anybody or running over anybody, but he's going to give you those 8-10 yards, you know, throughout the game and can be a value to you in the run game a little bit as a run blocker. Now, why Witten decided to do it, you know, look, that'd be frustrating with all the grief he was catching for the, you know, for the broadcasting stuff. And maybe just says, you know, I still got a little bit left. Why am I putting up with all that? Let's just go play ball.
That's how I see it. That makes sense to me. Daniel Jeremiah joining us. He's at the Combine right now. All right, so if we go to Kyler Murray, when you and I talked earlier in the offseason, you said you had a couple of concerns. His commitment to football and his bulk, knowing that, what's your reaction to his measurements today?
I am on the train. The seatbelt is buckled and it's left the station. I'm in. So those concerns that I had, you just mentioned them perfectly, Jim. He's done a great job of handling those. And when you watch the tape, you watch tape. Some guys do it, Jim. They'll have two different pens. You got a red pen and a black pen, right? So for anything bad you see, you use the red pen. Anything good, you see the black pen. If you did that when you watch Kyler Murray, Jim, there's not a lot of red on the paper, man. He's explosive. He makes a ton of plays. He can make every throw, and he's ultra athletic. So you're just hung up on size. If that's your thing, if you're just hung up on that, I think you're making a mistake.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us from the Combine. All right, so you've got the comparison between Murray and Russell Wilson. It comes up quite a bit. Now, Daniel, if you think back to when you were evaluating Wilson, when you were with the Eagles, how did that evaluation process go, and then what did you learn from that?
Well, I wish I had a mulligan, Jim, because I gave him a high second-round grade. I loved him when I watched him, and I had convinced myself that he was going to be right at 6 feet because there was no measurement on him, and I didn't think he really played small. You know, played behind that huge Wisconsin line. Loved everything about him. Well, then he goes to the Senior Bowl, and he's 5'10 and change. And I had so many different buddies in the scouting community say, well, he's done. And I'd be like, what? He's like, look, 100 years of football, man. There's never been one like this. You're going to really – you think you're smarter than everybody else in football, and you're going to hitch your wagon to a 5'10 quarterback? So, personally, I dropped my grade down into the third round. You know, in Philadelphia, we were close to picking him, not off my recommendation, just as a group. We liked him a lot. We thought we would get him in the third round, and Seattle took him just ahead of us. It ended up with a happy ending for the Eagles because we ended up taking Nick Foles, who ended up being a Super Bowl MVP. But I learned a lesson from then. I said, look, if I love everything on the tape and I don't see it being a problem with his size, I'm not messing with it. I'm not gonna lower a guy based off that. Never going to do it again.
Great story. Daniel Jeremiah joining us. He's at the Combine. All right, so now Murray does not have that classic NFL size. Dwayne Haskins fits that mold a little bit more, but you've got Murray above Haskins on your board at this point. Lay that out. How come?
Yeah, it's pretty simple for me, Jim. I like Haskins. He's a good player. He is a pure pocket passer, can make every throw. The issue is just when he's got to move around a little bit. The best way I can explain it is if you wanted to go buy a lottery ticket, it's much better to buy two lottery tickets than one, right? So with Haskins, when the play is called, he's got a chance to execute that play. You've got a chance to win with the play that's called. With Kyler Murray, you've got a chance to win with the play that's called, and you've also got a chance to win if something breaks down because he can make that second play. He can make you smart on the sideline with his ability to get himself out of trouble. So to me, that was the deciding factor of why I ended up with Murray over Haskins.
All right, so then again, you've got that big conversation right now. Arizona's sitting there at number one, and they took Josh Rosen last year. I mean, it would seem pretty obvious, Daniel, that no front office would want to trade up to get a quarterback in the first round and then come right back again the next year and take a quarterback again, especially when you're still not really sure what you have in the first guy you took after everything that happened in Arizona last season. All of that said, if you bring in a new head coach, and you know that new head coach loves Kyler Murray, is there any part of you that says, man, we're all in, screw it, let's just do this thing?
I mean, you talk about how unique it would be to punt on a quarterback you took in the top 10 less than a calendar year later. That's not the most shocking thing. You hired a head coach who just got fired from Texas Tech as your head coach in the NFL. That's more of a brazen move. So if you've kind of gone bold, you might as well go all the way bold. And when I saw those comments, Jim, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. But when I saw Steve Keim say that Josh Rosen is our quarterback for now, one of two things happened. You went to Josh Rosen and you said, hey, dude, earmuffs for the next couple months. We're going to try and throw a bunch of stuff out there and drum up interest in this pick so we can trade. Or Kyler Murray's your quarterback going forward, because you don't take a quarterback that young coming off a very average to below average year and mess with his psyche and his confidence by not fully committing to him publicly. That makes absolutely no sense to me.
Hey, listen, you lay that out perfectly. Now, you're much closer to this than I am. I'm going to answer your question. When I saw those comments from Steve Keim, honestly, DG, I thought the first thing, he's trying to maximize the value of that pick. He's going to go to his quarterback and say, look, man, we're playing poker. You understand this? It's a card game. Just don't listen. This isn't about you. It's about maximizing that pick. That was my personal take. What did you think when you heard those comments?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just from a historical, logical perspective, having been around this for a little while, you don't see teams give up on a quarterback after 1 year who's
right.
Pretty darn talented. So that's my first thought, but I just keep coming back to it. Man, if they are messing with people and trying to drum up interest, I pray they've had that conversation with Josh Rosen.
What's that do to a young quarterback? If he's hearing that thrown around and he doesn't know whether or not they believe in him, and by the way, it's not like it was all his fault last year. There was a lot of upheaval,
lot
of turnover, right? They had a terrible year. He had no help in front of him. I thought the guy showed a hell of a lot of toughness mentally and physically. But if you're a young quarterback, even a guy like that, headstrong guy like that, what's that do to a guy's psyche?
oh, it's brutal. I mean, that's one of the things that you always hear about. You know, hey, let's take it a little slow with these guys. You know, can they handle that failure? That's the most challenging thing for any young quarterback. How do you respond from failure? It's hard enough with what you're doing on the field and what you're putting up with, and having to maybe hear from, you know, fans or somebody at the grocery store. But now you've got the guy that selected you that's not fully committing to you. I mean, that's brutal. So I've never really seen that before. And that's why I have to believe, if that's what they're doing, that they have to have filled him in on that.
Really interesting. NFL Network analyst, host of the Move the Sticks podcast. Once again, a legendary quarterback at El Cajon Christian. They still talk about his exploits there. You can follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. NFL Network provides live coverage of the 2019 NFL Scouting Combine, March 1st through the 4th. He is at the Combine right now. Daniel Jeremiah, DJ, so good to have you back. Really appreciate you.
You're the best, Jim. I appreciate you, bud.
You too, dude. Sincerely, you are the best. Daniel Jeremiah. Can't get enough of his intel. I mean, I'd run that back tomorrow. I'd have him back on tomorrow. So look for him. When we come back, you get your last segment. What do you make of that? That to me is a fascinating conversation. If you have Steve Keim, hold up, Albie. If you have Steve Keim and he's asked about Josh Rosen and his response is Josh Rosen our quarterback? Yeah. He is, right now, for sure. End of quote. How do you interpret that? Do you interpret that to mean, yeah, Kyler Murray's right there. Our new coach loves that quarterback. That's that. We're going to punt. That was a mulligan. We made a mistake. Or maybe we didn't make a huge mistake, but man, we love this next guy. But do you really give up on a guy after only 1 year when it wasn't his fault? Problems on the offensive line. You changed out your head coach, your offensive coordinator. Man, that wasn't Rosen's fault. Could have played better, but that was not his fault. I mean, as bad as they were and as tough a year as he had, he showed me something. Are you going to give up on that guy after 1 year? So, my take was, when I read those comments, that struck me as a GM trying to maximize the value of the pick, because there's no way you mess with a young quarterback that you traded up to get, and you just go to him and say, look, this is just business, all right? This is not true. Just don't pay any attention to it. We're going to move that pick. Or are they looking to keep the pick and take the quarterback?